How awesome is our God, and how we worship and praise Him today. 53 years ago in Paducah, Kentucky, at Southside Baptist Church, where I was speaking that week, a young lady sang this hymn. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. In the mad rush of the broad way, in the hurry and the strife, tell of Jesus' love and mercy. Give to them the word of life. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. I hope you learned that lesson today. And in fact, more often than not, God is in the little things, where He gets all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. My glory I'll not give to another, is what God says. And all through the Bible, you find this declaration that boasting on your part is excluded. Boasting has been totally nullified. Be careful when you think yourself great at anything. You are what you are by the grace of God. Be careful about making idols and bowing down before them. Be careful about thinking more of yourself than you ought. God is not in it. You're not a great preacher unless God totally consumes you by the Holy Spirit. You're not a great singer. You don't have a great voice unless God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, you have no reason to brag. You have no gift, no talent, no ability separate apart from God. So God is concerned about this matter of His glory. So many great lessons to learn from the story of Gideon and this ragtag army of 300 men of his. The Lord said to Gideon, I can't give you the Midianites. You can't win the victory over the Midianites. You got far too many, 33,000 men. And God said, I can't give you the victory. Because if I did, you would think it was because you had 33,000 men, and you would vaunt yourself against me. You would brag about what you did. So you'll find out God began to cut the army down. This is the craziest story I have ever read. It is just so crazy. Except I look over my own life, and I say, that's just like God. To do that, God here has taken the craziest things and done great things. Who would ever thought we'd raise 33 million pennies, $330,000 in pennies? Who would ever thought my garage was filled with pennies at one point and I didn't know what to do with them? Who would have ever have thought that? No one but God. God can take loaves and fishes. So I want us to look at this story, and we'll be using the Bible a lot, and I'll be pointing out passages. The first lesson that I think is taught here in this story of Gideon and the Midianites is that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. You'll notice that in chapter 6. Of Judges, verses 1 and 2. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Two observations here. Number one, you do evil, you will pay. You follow the wrong path. You do the opposite from what God has asked you to do. I'm talking about as a Christian. What you sow, you're going to reap. And many times, I think people think, and I've heard people who are having real problems in life, and they go, why is God doing this to me? Well, you won't have to look too far back. And besides that, God is not directly doing it to you. You are just reaping what you sowed. We reap what we sow, even as Christians. As a child of God, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, you cut your hand, you're going to bleed. And as a Christian, those the Lord loves, He chastens. Now, I'm not saying that God sends judgment and condemnation upon everything you do. He's a forgiving God. I understand that. But many times you are where you are because as a Christian, those the Lord loves, He chastens. And all the Lord has to do to chasten His people is just let you do what you want to do. You be in charge of your life. What liars we are, what connivers we are, how we defend ourselves when we are just reaping what we have sown. And then to those of you who are without Christ, you wonder why you have lost everything. You wonder why you're addicted. You wonder this, you wonder that. You blame God. You have an anger problem. You did it to yourself. You were the captain of your own ship and destroyed your life. Amen. Why is God doing this to me? Well, why did you do what you do? Amen. Verse 2 says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. What a horrible life it is without Christ. What a horrible life it is to be living a life. What a horrible life it is to live hiding in dens, in the mountains, in the caves, in the strongholds, just running. Are you suffering from fear today? You have fear? Well, it's probably because you brought it on yourself. Fear. Are you looking over your shoulder today? Are you hiding out? Are you running? You probably did it to yourself. It's not a God problem. Verse 3 says, they hidden dens, constant fear. When Israel had sown, verse 3 says, the enemy came up against them and destroyed all of their crops. You ever been at mass in your life? And it just seems like you're starting to get ahead and things are going good. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, it almost seems. I have seen hundreds come through Grace Centers of Hope who seemingly were about there. I don't know exactly what happened, but they sabotaged. Listen, the devil's not for you having a little heaven on the way to heaven. Only God is for that. And if you're here as a Christian and you're down and messed up and screwed up and just life is the pits, there's something wrong with that. There is something wrong with that. Christians shouldn't be hiding in dens, in strongholds, in the mountains, and everything destroyed. I have nothing. I have nothing to look forward to. I have no sustenance. Everything's gone. Why? There's a reason why. This is the truth. You can be as poor as Job's turkey and be happy. This is true. Their enemies were overwhelming. I would say this to both Christian and non-Christian here. You have a ton of enemies. They're like grasshoppers. Verse 5 says, the Midianites were like grasshoppers. They had camels without number, and they had come to destroy the land. Your enemies are out to destroy you. Your enemy is out to destroy you. Crack is not your friend. Heroin's not your friend. Drugs are not your friend. Amen. Somebody say amen. Satan is out to destroy you. Jesus said, hallelujah, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 7 says, Israel was greatly impoverished. You shouldn't be feeling that way today. How about this? I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. He put you in the will. He'll never take you out of the will. You have everlasting life. All things are yours. The attitude of a Christian must be this, because of the might of our God. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I am an overcomer. You say, what should I do if I'm in a mess like you're talking about, Pastor? Both Christian and non-Christian should do what Israel did, verses 8 through 10. And Israel cried unto the Lord. That's what you ought to do. Cry to the Lord. He's your only hope. And when Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sent a preacher. A second lesson that we could learn would be the call of Gideon. I love the story of the call of Gideon. It's found in verses 11 through 17. Let's read just a few passages here. Verse 11, Judges 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak. I was reading that this yesterday, and I said, and the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak tree. What does that have to do with anything? I said to myself. I said, how wonderful. The Lord came, and by the way, the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. So Jesus comes, and he's sitting under the oak tree. And the latter part of that verse said, and Gideon was there by the wine press to hide from the Midianites. So Gideon is there near the wine press, and he's hiding out. And there's an oak tree real close. And so Jesus comes and sits. And the angel of the Lord, verse 12, said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What? I know Gideon must have said something like this. You talking to me? Thou mighty man of valor. He's hiding out. He's scared to death. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if thou be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Sounds just like us. Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. How about this? You have forsaken the Lord. The Lord never forsakes his people. It was the prodigal son that left home. It was the prodigal son that went into a foreign land. It was the prodigal son that found himself in the hog pen. The father didn't forsake the prodigal. The prodigal forsook the father. Is that right? The Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. In other words, he's doing just like many of us do. This is your fault. I'm down here in this mess. It's your fault. Listen, if you find yourself in the hog pen, it wasn't because the Lord put you there. He let you go there. He permitted you to go there, and you did. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Oh, how we need a consciousness of the presence of the Lord, that the Lord has sent me. This preacher needs that. I need to know that every single day. Because I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, prone to be a coward, prone to turn around. The Lord himself is our strength. If you don't go with us, Lord, we don't go up, Moses said. I sent you, the Lord told Gideon. So that's a great lesson to learn. That when God calls you, by the way, I keep waiting and watching for God to call some of you men to preach the gospel. But you know, my past wouldn't permit that. I don't know anybody that doesn't have a past. I was telling somebody this week, and you're going to hear more and more about this. We didn't plant this church here because Pontiac needs more churches. We have 435 churches in Pontiac, and we've had for 30 years that I've been here, and one of the worst cities in the state of Michigan. So we don't. Obviously, it's not more churches. It's people getting saved and giving back. The mission, amen. Grace Centers of Hope is not the main ministry here. This church is the main ministry, where we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and addicts and people who totally lost their life come to know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin and become preachers and pastors and ministers and politicians and people who are involved. Amen. I want you to know, I don't know how many years I have left, but this is the most important part of my life, building a church where people are being converted, and those being converted are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and they are giving back. Gideon begins to try to manipulate God. Now, that's just like us. In verse 13, he says, if you're with us, if you're with us, well, he's just told him he's with the Israelites. I'm with you. I'm going to deliver you. If you haven't forsaken us, deliver us. So the Lord in verse 14 commissions Gideon. Let me look at it. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Gideon makes all the common excuses of one who does not understand the grace of God. Look at him in verse 15. Well, now, I don't understand how that could be, that I could go in your might because my family is poor. Yeah, but your God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm the least in my father's house. Some of you right now have been called by God, and you're talking this way, just like Moses. I stutter. And God said to him, yeah, but I made your mouth. If God calls you, he will provide for you. If God calls you, he will use you. If God has saved you, it's for a purpose, on purpose. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Little is much if God's in it. God can take one man and turn things upside down. God doesn't need 33,000 Israelite men. God doesn't need 10,000. And we'll see in the story where he keeps cutting that number down. Common excuses. Jesus said where I read in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus said, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites." But in the book of Matthew, he said, "Have them sit down, because this is no problem with the 5,000. God is a miracle worker. Surely those of us who have been here any time at all have seen the most awesome things. In Livingston County, I was supposed to speak for about 30 minutes, and you know what happened. Anyway, you know what? To tell the stories of what God has done at this place excites people. There's about 300 people there, and I began to tell the stories of how God had provided for Grace Gospel Fellowship and Grace Centers of Hope. They did the most amazing thing. They stood on their feet and clapped and clapped and clapped and clapped and clapped. I was telling Miss Pam when I got home, I went up there in a snowstorm. So I got up there and I was thinking, trying to think all day and writing myself little notes. And I left my notes in the car in the snowstorm. And when it was time for me to speak, I was looking around for a few notes. No notes. Little as much when God's in it. Woo. I brought one of the most powerful messages I think I've ever brought up there with no notes. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you. Little is much when God is in it, and every one of us in here need to learn that. Joshua 23:10 says, "One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he fighteth for you." You know the Lord's on your side? You know all things work together for your good? If God be for us, who can be against us? That ought to be our attitude. Not, "I can't do this." Even your struggles with, those of you who struggle with addiction and relapse and all of that mess, you're going to make it, Christian. You're gonna make it. Oh, you're going to look pretty rough. You're going to look pretty rough, but you're going to make it. In verse 17, Gideon begins to learn the grace of God. And he does this. "Well, I think I need a sign." Listen, let me tell you this. If God tells you something, you don't need a sign. Just believe God. And by the way, our God is so very, very patient. He's so patient with us. Instead, "If now I have found grace in thy sight..." Wait a minute. Jesus just got through telling you under the oak tree that you're a mighty man of valor. You're a warrior. You're a conqueror. "Well, I think I need a sign." Let me tell you this. If Jesus talks to you, you've got a sign. If Jesus comes visiting you, you have a sign. After he asked for this sign in verses 22 through 23, he begins to realize that he's seen God. Have you ever had an encounter with the Lord Jesus, and then after it was over, you went something like that? "I'm going to die. I mean, I think I've seen the Lord. He's going to kill me. He knows all about me." And that's what happened to Gideon. Gideon said, "I need a sign." And so he begins to tell God what he's going to do and what God has to do, so Gideon will be sure that he can know he's talked to God. He said, "The first thing I want you to..." This is called bargaining with God. You know, God is very patient with us, isn't he? God doesn't have... Listen. When you start this thing of bargaining with God, I know many of us in here have said to God, "I'm going to put out a fleece. And if you really mean this, God, then you've got to do this. God is not in the bargain basement stuff. Really, he's not. But he's patient with us. So Gideon says, now, here's what I want. I'm going to put out this fleece, and I want it to be totally wet with dew. But I don't want there to be dew anywhere else. So sure enough, he gets up the next day, and the fleece is filled with dew. Hallelujah. But I'm still not real sure. So now what I want, God, I'm going to put the fleece back out, but I want it to be dry, and I want there to be dew everywhere. Some of you have thought that is very spiritual, but it's really not. To me, it's like, you know, when you say to God, God is so gracious. Look, I just told you, my child, I love you. Yeah, but I don't think you do. I just told you. I was very calmly sitting under the oak tree, and I told you, you're a great man. I'm going to make you a great man. I'm going to deliver the Midianites. Have you been there? Should you ask for God? Listen, first of all, it was the Lord Jesus who took the initiative to find him, hiding out there in the mountains, making wine. Hiding out, probably drinking a little of it too. Hiding out there. And the Lord visited him. You've not called me, but I've called you. You haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you. What an awesome thing it is to really get a hold of grace. And when you grow in grace, you know there's nothing happening in you except what God does in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So don't use the fleece deal too often. It would be much better if God comes and says something. Just believe him. You know, 15 years ago, God told me he was going to give me this building. I believed it for 15 years. 15 years ago, God told me, or longer, that we were going to have Seneca Street and turn this city upside down and revitalize neighborhoods. We're doing it. It's happening. You say, well, Pastor, you're a great man of faith. No. You know, my one prayer is this. I believe, help my unbelief. If God would grant one prayer, it would be that I could believe him more. That I could trust him more. That my faith was increased. Do you know what would happen if you and I would just believe God? The most awesome things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the victory. Trusting God. Do you understand how big this thing of faith is? Faith, it shuts you up where you have no confidence in yourself, and it's trusting, not yourself, not your works, not your church, not your preacher, not your life, not your money, not your car, not your house, not your nothing. It's trusting God, totally trusting God. Well, what I've been working toward is this. The last lesson to be learned this morning is the message that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Not my own hand hath saved me. Turn loose of that, all of it. The chief end of man is to glorify God, as I have said. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Glorifying God. We did that this morning in our song service. The great trump of the gospel. Uh-oh, I just used trump. Honestly, that's in my notes. That was not on purpose. The great trump of the gospel is to God be the glory. So, what you do is this. Every song, your preacher, those of you who are visiting with us, when you go back to your church, this is the way you look at your pastor. Is he powerfully exalting Jesus Christ? Is he giving Jesus Christ all the glory and all the... That's how you judge every message and every testimony. That's the acid test. The acid test is who gets the glory. That's why when you get to thinking you're something, and that can happen in, that can happen to those of you in recovery. I've been clean 6 months. Not by yourself, you haven't. And you haven't been that clean anyway. But you can begin to think of yourself more than you ought. And you know how God, I'm going to say it. You know how God will let the air out of your bubble? Just let you use. Just permit you to get your eyes off of God. Stop looking at yourself. Amen. What ought to happen if you've been clean 2 days? You ought to fall on your face and thank God. To God be the glory. Gideon, you're going to defeat the Midianites, but not by your power, not by your strength, not by your might. There's no one in here that's going to win this victory of salvation and glory, whether it's with drug battle or pornography, or you're not going to win any victory except it be through the power of your God, the power of this God. So, in chapter 7, verse 2, he said, "You have too many for me to give the Midianites to you, lest you vaunt yourself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" So we're going to cut the army down from 33,000 to 10,000. Now remember, the Midianites are like grasshoppers. You know, when I played high school football, the night of the game when we'd go, I would look to see how big the opposing team was. Can you imagine when God said, "I got to cut your army. Just too big for me to give you the victory." He said, "So take all the 33,000 down to the river and 10,000 down to the river, and those that lap like a dog, cut them out. Those who cup their hands, those are the ones." Well, there was only 300. Now, wait a minute. We've gone from 33,000 to 300 who don't lap like a dog. Doesn't seem like an army to me. And then God says, "Okay, we're ready now. I'm going to give you the victory. Here's what I want you to do. Get a pitcher." Huh? "And also get a candle. And get a trumpet. And we're going to go out and beat up on the Midianites." You know what I would have thought? "Are you cotton picking crazy?" Now, but if you just look at us here, I say, you take a bunch of former drug addicts, a bunch of religious people who were lost in religion, and a bunch of messed up folks like we all are here. There's not just drug addicts here. There's guys like me who was self-righteous, religious as all get out. I'll bet in my lifetime I haven't missed church many times. So what? Well, you know, religious people, you know what? Oftentimes religious people say this, "Well, God bless you over there in Pontiac. The Lord bless you. We're praying for you, Pastor. You know, you've got a hard job with that bunch you have." There is no difference. All have sinned and missed the mark, right? You think about how God, what God has done here with candles and a pitcher and a trumpet. Victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. Some of you don't know all the stories here. That's why I tell them people are starving to hear of a God visitation, and that's what we're having here, a God visitation. You think how foolish the gospel is. Like some of you here today, you think you're here by accident, or maybe you're here because they ran you out of that building and said you have to go to church over there if you're going to stay over here. So you're here. You weren't even happy about it. And then you come over here and hear about this guy named Gideon, and that Jesus sat under an oak tree and told him he was going to be a great general and deliver Israel. And then I get up and say that salvation's by faith alone. It's not by your being sprinkled as a baby. It's not by your church going. It's not by your works. It's not by what you do. You are totally what you have, no gifts of your own. Whatever you're good at, that's good. A lot of people are good at a lot of bad things, but whatever you're good at, God put that in you. It's a gift from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. So I have stripped you of any righteousness of your own. I have said this: you have to trust in the one who bled and died on the tree of the cross in your room, in your stead, and in your place. And again, I have said to those of you who are Christian, the reason things are out of sort in your life is because you won't upchuck it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. People are always talking about letting me down. Let me tell you something. In word, thought, or deed, I let you down every single day. And let me tell you this too. I do not have great aspirations for you. I look right past you to God. I say things like this: Lord, if you don't keep me, I won't be kept. I say things like this: Lord, if you don't keep Sue, she's going to be an absolute mess. She's going to go back to the streets. She's going to go back to drugs. She's going to continue to leave her children. The guys are wild men. I know that. So if there is a slip, if there is a backstep in this church, all you have to do is say this, first of all, to the Lord: forgive me. The Lord will always say to His kids, I forgive you. It's all taken care of. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. To me, if you come and say, Pastor, I used, or Pastor, I slipped up, man, I cheated on my wife, Pastor, there's accountability. Yeah, I need help with accountability. Accountability. That's okay. The devil's here too. Just hang on. We're good. Some of you guys may be needed back there in the back. Okay. Hey, you need to expect outbreaks. Amen. Okay. All right. We're good. We're good. Thank you. If you've messed up, you say to us who are mess ups, I want you to forgive me. And you know what we'll do? I forgive you. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's what needs to happen here. And we're going to have things like we've just had. It's going to happen. This is not a church. We are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We are. Actually, before I left home, I said to the Lord, I had a sense, protect us today. Protect us today. Protect our church today.
Amen.
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 And work in and through us today. And I want to just say this. And I don't often do this. You know, we don't have the general like invitation that many churches have. But I want to do this today. I want to say, if you're here and you've got something between you and the Savior, something that's blocking your joy, your fellowship, something that's just holding you captive in the mountains, in the cave, why don't you just confess it today? And we'll make it this simple. All you do, just want to come forward as a Christian and say, I've sinned against God. It's right between me and the Lord now. We used to call it rededication in the old church. You want to rededicate your life. I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against this church by not living my life as an example. And I want to get it right. And then if you're here and today for the first time, you're saying something like that. This was the craziest message I have ever heard in my life, but it brought such joy and peace. I trusted Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. You can come and confess it. Let's stand and praise our God.